As I invite you to open to the book of Psalms, chapter number 19. Psalms, chapter number 19. And I would invite you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we begin reading in verse number 7 and read just a few verses here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Father, we thank you for this testimony written so long ago by the inspired writer of this psalm as testimony to the value of your word, which we know as the Holy Bible. As we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning, encourage us and help us to be more confident in this book we hold in our hands and in our laps this morning. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have been studying for the last several weeks this book we call the Bible and what the Bible says about itself. First, we saw that it was an amazing book because of the content, the things of which it tells us, things that we'll find no other place, such as creation. We know the scientists have their theories, but there isn't a single scientist that was back when it all began that can tell us firsthand. And we know that the theories that they have by which to test their theories cannot be proven because of a lack of the amount of time that it takes to prove them. But God was there. He was active. He was the creator. And he told us what he had done when he created the heaven and the earth. It's an amazing book because it tells us of that. It tells us also salvation. You'll hear of that message nowhere else. A message that there's a holy God in heaven who requires perfection. And yet, realizing that no man could bring that perfection he requires, and yet still loving man enough to desire fellowship with him in this life and this world, as well as throughout all eternity, loving us so much that he sent his Son to pay the penalty for our sin, and that is the only way of redemption, and that it's all of grace. Nothing we can do can earn it, only because of what God did through Christ on the cross of Calvary. All we do is accept it, the free offer, an amazing book because of what it tells us. It's also, as we saw last week, an anointed book, an abiding book, and an authoritative book. Holy men of gold of old spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. And so that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, anointed by God, authoritative. One day we're going to give an answer according to the things written in this book. And it's abiding. It will never pass away. This morning, I want to look at three more, and this will conclude our study this morning, three more A words for the Bible. The first thing we find here in this psalm is that it's an able book, an able book. Man has a lot of needs today, and a lot of our politicians see their responsibility as in their elected offices as answering some of the problems that man has. We face all kinds of problems from disease, from health issues, to economic issues, to simply social issues. How do we solve all these problems that we have, as well as the international issues? Isn't the Middle East a hotbed right now with the civil war taking place in the nation of Syria? And if you didn't hear about it, our ambassador to Israel had the Israeli ambassador just blow up at him, because he's so upset with the United States government's stance towards Israel anymore. because of the threat that Iran poses in creating nuclear weapons. And Israel demands that the United States do something about it, or they will. And we're sitting on our hands as a country. It's a travesty. The day this country turns its back on Israel is the day we can say United States of America just died. God has protected our nation, and God will watch over all who will be the friend of Israel. But when we're no longer the friend of Israel, we're done as a country. It's just that simple. Now, I don't think we're there yet. Our president, along with his religion, hates Israel. But we've got enough politicians still in Washington, D.C., that will be the friend of Israel no matter what. But we've got all these problems in life. How are we going to answer each and every one of these problems? It's not okay to just answer a few of them. It's not okay to answer just a couple of them. But we need all these problems solved, and we need the answers to each one of these. We need solutions. The Word of God, as we read in this Psalm, chapter number 19, has those answers. As sure as I'm standing here this morning, and you can see that I am, I hold this book up and I tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, this book contains the solution and the answer to every problem that man has ever faced or will face. It's amazing, as you study this book, you see that these men back centuries ago and millennia ago wrote about things that they had no clue about. And yet, as we read the Word of God, we see its relevancy, that God knew, even though those men didn't, and it answers the problem we face. It's an able book. Look what it can do for you. Now, this isn't all-inclusive. It doesn't give us all the answers, all the solutions. This book contains them, but not just this simple passage. But this passage gives us a good illustration of what God can do through His book, and that this book is able to help with the problems that man faces. First of all, in verse number 7, we're introduced to the fact that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, that, I believe, is the greatest problem that man faces, is the conversion of the soul. Man has always been a religious man. You can go back into civilizations that have no contact with any other civilization. Now, we like to think that we've encountered all the people groups on the world today. But there may be still some out there in some rainforest or some dark jungle somewhere that has had no contact. But what you'll find is if you make contact with them, you'll find they have a religion. They're worshiping a god, or usually plurality of gods, many gods. They have religion. They are religious because man has always been concerned about the conversion of the soul, being right with the God who controls all that we have and know. The problem with these religions is they don't have the answer. The problem with these religions is they have no solutions. The one common denominator that each and every religion has is that man works in order to attain heaven. That's the one common denominator. And a second common denominator that goes along with that is man never knows how much work he must perform. And so man never knows whether he's done enough. Complete insecurity regarding eternal things. It's interesting because the Roman Catholic system teaches there are seven sacraments. And as long as you keep these seven sacraments, you're good to go. And yet the Pope himself has been quoted as saying that he is not 100% sure that he's going to make it to heaven when he dies. Insecurity. The Word of God knows nothing of this. The Word of God teaches that we can know for sure. Perhaps the best example is found in the little epistle of 1 John, chapter number 5. He tells us over and over, giving us that security. 4, he says, "For whatsoever is born of God," that's conversion, put in simply different words, "whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Now, there is no question mark. There is no fine print. He tells us we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Verse number 5, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Skipping down a few verses, it tells us in verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now, what is the witness of God? The witness of God is primarily the Word of God. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. John is saying, look, God's testimony, God's witness, I said the primary basis of that witness is the Word of God. Everything we know is because of what he tells us here, but there's also a second primary mode of witness. I guess you can only have one primary, but almost as primary, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means when we have that witness dwelling within us. That's the Holy Spirit of God who cries out, Abba, Father, to let us know we're his Son. We have the witness within us when we receive Christ. And what is that witness? That Jesus gives us what? Eternal life. Eternal life. What is eternal life? Now I wish, now this is my cell phone, I wish I had an eternal battery. Don't you? Do you ever get to talking and your battery goes dead? Or almost dead? Because I don't use my cell phone a whole lot. And so I don't charge it very often. And I don't pay attention to it. But what happens is it's showing it's got a full charge and it's color-coded, which you know does nothing for me. I just know when the bars start dropping off. And it'll look like it's fully charged to me. And I'll start talking. I'll look at it after I'm dialing. I see all of a sudden it's down to one bar. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I hope they don't answer now. I wish I had an eternal battery, because if I had an eternal battery, that means it would last forever. I would never have to charge it up. And God says, that's the kind of life you have. You never have to charge it up. You don't have to get your sins atoned for anymore. They've already been taken care of. Now, that doesn't mean you don't confess your sin and have that relationship restored. But you still have eternal life. It doesn't mean that you can go out and sin all you want. You can't. Not if you're saved. The Holy Spirit will convict you and keep you from doing that. But it never needs charged up. Once you got it, it's good to go. God says that's the kind of life he gives. Once you got it, it's good to go. Eternal. He goes on and says, because he doesn't stop there. That's why I said this is perhaps the best chapter for studying this. He that hath the Son, verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life. Now what kind of life is he talking about? He's talking about eternal life. Once you got it, it's good to go. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Notice verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Those that have experienced conversion. Again, that's conversion in different words. He says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Does God want you to question whether you have it or not? I don't think so. Not based on the authority of the Word of God. And as I said, this Word of God is the primary witness. Not how I feel, not my logic, because most people who argue against it say, well, what if someone makes a profession of faith and they go out and they start murdering people and they're a serial killer? Certainly they've lost it, because no one that's saved would murder people as a serial killer. They're right. Someone who's saved would probably never go out and be a serial killer. But if that happened, based on what the Word of God says, not on what I'm thinking, but based on God's Word, that we have eternal life. Once we got it, it's good to go. If that person was truly born again, they would be in heaven, even though they were a serial killer. That's based on the Word of God. You might disagree with me on that, but it's not me you're arguing with. It's the Word of God and God Himself. And so when we get back to the 19th Psalm, we see the Word of God is perfect. Isn't it interesting the adjective God chose to describe His Word in that phrase when it regards conversion? It's perfect. It gets the job done. It doesn't have any shortcuts or any shortcomings. There aren't any loopholes where, oops, I slipped one out of my hands. Remember what John 10 says? We're in God the Father's hand. Well, actually, we're in the Son's hand, but those Son's hands are in the Father's hands. We can't get out of that. None's going to slip through His fingers. There are no oops. It's perfect. It'll get the job done if you'll let it. Now, we've got to exercise faith. He reveals it to us here, and we just receive the gift through faith, believing that Jesus died for our sin and that He wants to give us that eternal life. All right, well, let's move along. What else does it tell us about the Word of God? It tells us about conversion. I believe the world's number one problem that needs a solution. Because if you get people saved, all these other problems are going to be solved, or many of the other problems. Okay, let's continue on verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, if you call someone simple, that's not a compliment, is it? It's kind of like saying, you know, they're foolish, they're dumb, they don't know anything. Now, when we read the word simple in the Word of God, it just means someone who's not educated. We would use the term ignorant, although when we use the word ignorant, it's usually in a very derogatory sense. But using ignorant in a very neutral sense. All right? I'll give you an example. I am ignorant when it comes to fixing my car. Okay? I don't have a clue. I would say I'm all thumbs when it comes to fixing my car, but that's saying a little bit more than what I'm able to do. Now, that's not necessarily in a negative sense. It just means I've never been educated in how to fix a car. My dad didn't know how to fix cars, so I never was able to learn from him. The Bible uses the word simple in that sense. People without knowledge. It's not necessarily their fault. And it doesn't mean they're dumb. They may be very educated in some areas and expert in many areas. But in the ones that count, the spiritual matters are simple. They just don't know. God says there's a solution for those that are ignorant, those that just lack the knowledge. It's right here. It's in the book. God will make you wise. If you look at life and you say, I'm having trouble figuring out how to do this. I just always seem to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or go the wrong places or go the wrong direction. I just can't seem to make it right. God says, right here's your solution. Let this be your guide. Let this direct your path. He says if you do that, all of a sudden you won't be making those mistakes anymore. And people look at you and say, wow, you're really wise. You know an awful lot about life. There's no mystery to it. God says it's right here in God's Word. And He says, what's the adjective He used to describe His Word? He says, sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. There are no mistakes. There aren't any oops. He's not going to lead you down a dead-end road. He's not going to lead you down a dark alley with pitfalls. He's going to lead you the right way every time. Every time it's sure. Just as sure. No, I better not say that. I was going to talk about November, the end of November. For those of you that don't know me, I'm a Michigan fan, and we talk about football a lot in our sermons. Notice how I made that plural. We talk about football. I talk about football, and Michigan always wins. Well, let me put it this way. Just as sure as I think Michigan's going to win come November, okay? You know I'm going to say it. God's Word is just that sure, if you'll let it direct your path, okay? Moving on now to verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There's a lot of pain in our world, emotional pain. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of emotional struggles in life. People that are living, realizing that something's just not clicking. And I can't figure it out. And they're in this cycle that they can't seem to break. And they so wish they could. God says there's not a mystery. There's a certainty. He says it comes from the statutes. Now, what is a statute? It's kind of a strong word. We don't use it a lot. We usually use it in regards to law or the laws of our country. They're statutes. That's what God's talking about, the regulations He's given us in His Word. You see, there's a lot of regulations. And we talked a little bit in Sunday school because Eli was such a bad father to his sons and how he should have established those boundaries for those boys that were so corrupt and so wicked. And that if he would have established those boundaries when they were little boys, they wouldn't have gone into the wickedness that they did when they were adults. Now, kids never like boundaries, do they? If you are a parent and you have kids, you know that. And we were all kids one time, and we know how mom and dad said, you cannot absolutely do this. If you're a boy, the way a boy hears that is, it's a challenge. They've just thrown out the gauntlet. Can I get away with doing that now? They're statutes, though. And the many times that me and my brothers took those commandments of my parents and decided to test them, we found that there were consequences to be paid if we got caught. But as we're adults, every one of us, even though we hated it when we were kids, and even though we all thought our parents were too strict, every one of us now as adults say, I am glad mom and dad were as tough on us as they were. They gave us guidelines for living, guidelines for life that helped. They didn't put any guidelines out there so we would grow up and wind up in jail for the rest of our lives. They didn't put those guidelines in place so that we couldn't hold a job. They didn't put those guidelines in life so that we couldn't survive in a relationship with our wives. They gave us those guidelines for our good so that we would be adjusted to society and be able to function without any problems or complications, so we could get along with other people and live a happy, successful life. May I suggest to you this morning that God has many statutes in His Word, and every one of those statutes are given to us because He loves us and wants us to be successful and happy in our lives. And so He gives us these statutes that if we'll do them, as He describes the doer of them, they rejoice the heart. No more depression, no more of that discouragement, no more of that life just not seeming to work. All of a sudden, everything falls into place if we'll obey the statutes God has given us. He's given us these boundaries and rules for a purpose, because He wants you to have life and that more abundantly. Not because He wants you to miss out on the fun of this world. Not because He wants you to go through terrible things in life. He gives them to you because they're for your own good. They're right. And when you do what's right, you feel good. When you feel good, your heart rejoices. Only the Word of God has that. But we must move along. In verse number 8, not only are the statutes of the Lord right, rejoicing the heart, but it also tells us the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. One of the major problems in our world today is racial prejudice. You want to know a little known fact, and yet it is a fact. Planned Parenthood was formed in order to persecute our black population. If you do a study of where all the Planned Parenthood murder clinics or abortion clinics are, the vast majority of them are in the black neighborhoods. And it's a fact. Our media won't publish this, but the founder of Planned Parenthood is on record as saying that that's the reason that she formed it and started the whole thing in the first place. was because she was afraid that the black population was growing out of proportion to the white population, and so that was how she was going to oppress the black people. That's Planned Parenthood, that our government sponsors and our president insists on funding through your tax dollars. Because states are seeing the light and they're cutting off the funds to Planned Parenthood. And when they do that, our president steps in and gives them national tax dollars to continue to murder our little black babies. Those are just a fact of life. Prejudice is a terrible thing. You see that racial prejudice taking place in Africa in a major way, and in the Middle East in a major way, and in India, and in other places in the Far East in a major way. Racial prejudice is a terrible thing. We ought to all be colorblind when it comes to that. God created us all equal. We all have a soul. In the early days of the modern missionary movement, there was some opposition to go into the African lands because they thought they didn't have a soul. They thought they were halfway because of evolution's influence. They thought that the black man was halfway between the missing link and the white man, and that it was without a soul. How foolish. How foolish indeed. The Word of God is the answer and has the solution to all racial prejudice. It told us right there. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Pure. Our motives are no longer selfish and racially or prejudicially based. And prejudice goes way beyond just the races. You know, the Muslim world will never be a peaceful world, or the Muslim nation will never be a peaceful nation, simply because there are different brands of Islam. And they hate each other. And they seek to kill each other because they label each other an infidel. Because they don't believe exactly, identically the way they do. And so religion is a big thing. In India, one of the biggest problems they're having there, besides the racial issues, and we heard a lot about that from Brother Feeler when he was here a couple of weeks ago for our missions revival. But the Hindus are killing the Muslim, and the Muslim the Hindu. They hate each other for no other reason than the way they choose to worship God. All that is solved when we come to the Word of God and let it be our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. It tells us the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It helps us see the world through God's eyes. God died for the black person, for the yellow person. Just as that song says, Jesus loves the children, all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, or white. They're all precious in His sight. It takes the Word of God and a changed heart to see that. God's love for them. It takes the Word of God to help us realize and understand that even though the Muslim hates us and seeks to kill us, Jesus died for that Muslim. And we ought to love them because God loves them. And we ought to try to reach their soul because God tried to reach their soul when He sent His Son. All these reasons for prejudice will be removed when we come to the Word of God. It has the answers and it has the solutions that the world cannot find in any other place. There's so much more to say, and I've already gone over what I should have gone over. But I think you're getting the idea. This book is an able book. What are you facing in life? Let me guarantee you, this book that we call the Bible has the solution, and it will help you if you'll let it. Father, we thank You for Your Word. What a marvelous book this is, and what an able book it is to help us if we'll just let You help us through it. Father, as I said earlier, our greatest need is that of conversion. Father, if we even have one individual, whether it be a youth or an adult, that isn't 100% certain they're on the way to heaven, Father, I pray that as we sing this hymn of invitation, that they might come to the front and just let me know, preacher, I need to be 100% sure. We'd be so thrilled about that and have someone show them out of your word how they can be 100% for sure. And Father, for those of us with needs, Father, may we come and simply present them to you on this old-fashioned altar and ask that you'd reveal to us out of your word the solution for the problems we face. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.